Well, hello, sugars. How are you doing? I just had my cup of coffee. I'm feeling myself. I'm not feeling myself. You know what I mean? I'm feeling. Let's just keep moving on. Hello. Apparently, I need to have more coffee. This is Maddie. I hope everybody's had a good week. This episode this week, I hope it's inspiring. It was to me, but this is also an episode with one of my best friends. So it's, and listening to it, I laughed a lot and I enjoyed it. But there's still that like insecurity in me that says, oh gosh, is everybody else gonna laugh about this? Or are they just gonna think, why are these two best friends having this conversation? But I don't think you're gonna think that. This episode's with my friend Liz Asti, that a lot of times we call Nasty. But Liz has started I don't even know how to categorize it as that. I mean, she started through her Instagram and social media, but it's just called Present Project. And all the links to it are in the show notes. But it's basically, I just think it's something, it's what I love about Present Project, and I'll let her explain, but it's something that's so little, that takes no time, it takes no money, but it's something that can really change your day-to-day perspective and help inspire you or cultivate happiness for you or contentment, or it's just, and be present. So anyway, I won't say so much more, but I'll let her explain it. But also we talk about a lot. So we talk about musical theater. I mean, we talk about a lot. So this was just a joy for me to do because she's just one of my best friends in the world. And I love her just more than the ground that I walk on. So she's a wonderful, wonderful soul. She's a sow. I don't know what a sow is. Lord, I can't. I think I need to have another cup of coffee. All right, everybody. I'll see you at the end of the show. Okay, great. We're recording. What? Hello, everybody. It's a podcast. Hello. Welcome to the Dear Maddie Show. This episode is titled A Very Special Episode, clearly, because I have one of my best friends, my BFFs, part of my heart on this show, Liz Asti.
Oh,
Welcome to the
please.
show.
Welcome to me.
Welcome. I don't want to go on too much about how I love you because I don't want you to start crying
Oh, well,
and
I'm just
getting.
so present. I'll cry all the time. It doesn't matter.
You will just cry so much, and I don't want that to. How are you, Liz Asti? Hello, how are
I'm
you?
very well. How are you, Matt Marr?
Good. Liz is in New York. She's a New York Williamsburg girl, and I'm out here in LA, and this is technology working together, putting friends together.
I feel like you've given people the idea of who I am by saying I'm a Williamsburg girl. I need people to
Oh,
understand.
that was a
I've
wrong
been in
description.
Williamsburg for 12 years, and I'm like in my late 30s, so I'm not wearing like ironic acid wash jeans. I don't have like weird glasses and frizzy hair. Like I'm not a hipster. I'm not cool enough to live in Williamsburg. I never have been.
Well, and I should, yeah, that's true. I should, because I've seen you, visited you, but when I visited you, it was literally, I think, over 10 years ago. So when you just moved there, so that neighborhood was not what it is now at
Oh,
all.
it wasn't, the look on my father's face when we got off the highway driving to my apartment was like, I don't know, you're not going to live here. Well, this is what I can afford, so this is where I'm going to live. And the neighborhood has just exploded around me. So here we are.
Here you are. Now, so this feels full circle where, I've had Allie on the show. I've had Lindsay Leffler on the show, which it's her wedding anniversary today.
Happy anniversary, Lindsay.
I've had Jake Anthony on the show a couple of times,
Yeah.
and I like how you went, oh, yeah.
You can,
But I'm completing the BFF cycle of which, and for people to know, there's a group of us. We are called the BFFs because we became friends many, many, many moons ago teaching theater to girls in summer camp.
I think we're coming up on 15 years.
I want to
Summer of
see.
2002 is when you
Yep.
guys all came.
Wow, 15 years. We got to do something for 20. That's
Well, we
coming
can do something
up.
for 15.
Clearly
I'm
we
never
can.
going to be mad at meeting you in Vegas, so,
Oh, that was a wonderful time.
That was
I
great.
know. I need. I know. I need. We need to have another BFF Lorette, but I don't want to get married. And Jake's And Jake's not going to get married anytime soon, so.
Well, we can just have a makeshift BFF, Lorette, and just show
Maybe
up.
We'll do that.
Just show up to Vegas.
I should say that I don't want to get married now. Not ever, Kyle, if you're listening. So, hint, hint. No, I'm not ready for that. Okay, so... So yeah, so that's how we met. So were you teaching voice, not theater at the time, right?
Yeah, well, so your summer, I was teaching theater. That was my one summer. So I was.
Oh yes.
I was for four summers. So the first one, I was still in college, and I was hired to teach voice. Second and third, I was just teaching voice, and then the fourth, I was in the middle of my master's. My master's is in theater education. So I asked, I'm like, well, I'm getting a master's not in voice. So can I please, you know, teach theater? And they let me have one class, and it was like the middle school girls, you know, and we did a production of Big River, where when Huck and Jim escaped, we all did a square dance and they waved at them. So like questionable theater at its best. So that was my only theater, but I was part of both staffs. However, clearly I belonged to the theater staff. So
not that there's anything wrong with the voice staff, but clearly you were.
Clearly my BFFs became everybody on the theater staff. So
yes. And for people that can't imagine this, it was when you're teaching 220 girls who are, you know, wonderful, wonderful people, but also they're just young girls and they're at summer camp. The bond that you have with any type of group of counselors or other teachers or adults, it becomes very strong at camp. So it was much needed. It was much needed. I mean, we had walkie-talkies.
I wasn't around for walkie-talkies or fat babies, so I'm sorry. Oh. You guys had that all after me, after I left, to go do questionable summer stock in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So,
oh, I forgot you did summer stock.
I did. I had one really amazing summer and one really bad summer. So the really amazing summer, that was the summer that you guys were still at Belvoir and I was doing questionable theater in Pennsylvania.
And so, yes. So, and I want to bring that up. So for anybody who's kind of like, you know, you're listening to the show and you're like, who is this person? I want to just get an image of this person. She's not a hipster from Williamsburg, but you are, a fantastic teacher, a fantastic singer, a fantastic actress. And, you know, I'm doing the hustle in LA, you're doing the New York hustle as well.
Truth.
So it is truth. It is truth. And now you often see a lot of those girls from summer camp at auditions.
I do. I do indeed. I was at like an open call an equity required call at Telsey, and I ran into like three or four of our girls, and it just made me go, ugh. And then, of course, the day that I was in class with one of our girls, I was like, okay, I'm in the same acting class with a girl that, you know, I knew when she was eight. Awesome. I mean, it's great because it still gives, you always need to be in class with people who are younger than you, older than you, you know, push you in different ways. So it was definitely good for that to happen. It just was a moment of my ego going, oh God, I'm in the same place as this girl.
I mean, that happened to me. I had it with Arielle Sands now. I think it was used to be was she Meislin? No.
Oh, Arielle Meislin?
I think, no, what was her? She changed it to Sands because I said, oh, you changed your last name. She's like, yeah, the other one's too Jewy. Those are her words, everybody, not mine. But that's what she said because she's a Jewish person and she can say that. So, but that literally is what she said. I was like, oh. But so, yeah, she changed her last name. And because I know she's engaged. She's lovely. She's wonderful. She's doing like, I'm proud for her. She's doing quite well. But I was like, she's like, weren't you Maddie, my theater teacher? And like, everybody looked at me like, you're that old? And I was like, yes. Yes, I was.
Yeah, such judgment everywhere.
but anyway, what was that? We were talking about Big River. We were talking about summer stock. We were talking. Oh, so tell everybody. So another thing you and I connected on that, and that you connect with Jake as well, is that you're a Southern girl.
I'm so Southern.
You are so, you and Jake are really Southern. I'm a little more white trash.
Well, I think Jake and I are related.
You probably are.
I'm serious because my great grandmother is from his hometown.
Oh, Pickens or Greenville?
Greenville. I mean, Pickens. I think maybe even Pickens.
Like it's but the like, same thing, really.
Right in that area. That I mean, and she's like buried there, or somebody is. I don't listen when my mom tells me.
Oh.
Yes, but I think Jake and I are related. I really do. It just would make sense.
It would make sense. You're both very, very, very rational people.
Okay.
No, I love. Okay, this is totally off topic, but I just thought of this. So you are a very rational person, but things that I feel like you own is that you have, there's some things that are either irrational pet peeves or irrational fears.
Yes,
that absolutely. You have.
Yes.
Would you mind talking about any of those?
Sure. Well, I mean, obviously I have an irrational fear of raw cotton. it makes me so, I'm angry about it too. It makes me so angry. Like, why do you need to stick a cotton ball in? I mean, it's like, it's insulting that I have to reach into this medicine bottle to get, I have my headache. It already hurts. My head already hurts. And I've got to reach in and take out this like thing that just feels like shards of glass on my fingers. It's just insulting. So I don't like raw cotton. There's so many things that I don't like, but is there something that's coming to mind for you that you need me to talk about?
No, I was thinking of cotton. I was thinking of cotton. Okay. So that was,
well, you know, I have a friend who said that, that he wanted me to just like give these irrational opinions, these irrational fears. And he just wanted to say at the end of it, Liz Asti opinion, trademark. We call them in my home, we call them Liz Asti opinions. When I say something that is so just like ridiculously irrational, was that a Liz Asti opinion? Absolutely. Trademark.
That's amazing. Well, because another thing I've noticed that you, and I get a little bit like this, you're way more than me, is that you are an avid traveler. You love traveling. You've been all over the world. Mm-hmm. And traveling clothes are important to you.
Okay, now let's back up on traveling clothes for a second. So, yes, I used to have a blog. I do still have an Instagram. These traveling clothes, it comes from The Sound of Music, right at the end, where Herr Zeller comes in and says, "Captain Von Trapp, why are you trying to escape?" He says, "I'm not trying to escape. We're going to the festival." And they're like, "The festival, but the children are in these traveling clothes, and they're costumes," is how Maria responds. So I think we all should have traveling clothes because, you know, we're Southern. I grew up and we dressed to fly. I mean, I remember wearing stockings and little gloves and all that stuff to fly. And now it's like people just roll straight out of bed and bring their whole pillow and blanket from their bed to just take a 45-minute flight. And it's just, it's not dignified. So I have sort of backed off from that blog because I'm leaving the idea behind of shaming people for choices. So,
oh, I thought it was funny, but I understand why you would say that.
I started to feel like, okay. I mean, and granted, every time I did say, this is an awful outfit, I would provide a solution, right? So if you're going to criticize, please provide a solution. That's sort of how I feel in general. Yeah. But I've decided to leave that behind. Like, I don't really need to shame people. So I'm uplifting. When I see things, when I see somebody who's wearing a great outfit that looks very comfortable, I'll snap that or something like that, as opposed to being like, this person looks homeless, take a picture of that. You know, that's not, it's not
this
right.
Person's wearing a Juicy Couture sweatsuit on the plane. God.
So I have a lot of opinions about that stuff. But, you know, it's like I firmly believe, like I just got back from London, and I wore like a shift dress and like lightweight tights and wedges and a beautiful necklace, and I felt like I was wearing a nightgown. You just don't have to wear sweats or, I mean, leggings, okay, fine, whatever. You don't have to wear something that makes you look like you just got out of bed to be comfortable. It's just not, it's not necessary. So I think we all, and you know, the better when you look put together, you feel put together, in my opinion.
I 100% agree.
Yeah. And I understand. Sometimes it's just difficult, especially if your parents traveling. Like, I don't even understand how hard that must be with
That's
little
true.
ones. But I mean, put a necklace on. I get it if you don't want to put a full face on. I put a full face on at 4 o'clock in the morning if I'm doing, you know, an early flight. Fine, I do that, but not everybody has to.
Not everybody has to.
No.
But I agree with you. I know that since I've traveled, since you did that vlog, I try to dress a little more appropriate. I mean, I'm not a fashionista, but it also helps with my boyfriend because he's so stylish, and I realize that
so stylish.
He's so stylish, but I realize, you know. But again, he comes from a New York mentality. Don't you feel like people dress to impress more in New York? Where in California, people really, like, I saw a girl the other day, literally walking around a mall wearing like a tank top, and the side of her, and basically underneath it, she was just wearing a bra, but you could see like her whole side boob in a bra. And I thought, I'm literally looking at your underwear.
Yeah, I mean, I think New York does put it together a little bit more, but by the same token, we're nothing in comparison to like Paris, right? So, you know, we look like, you can spot an American from a mile away when you're in Paris. You know, everybody's dressed, something that David Sedaris said, something like, why do Americans come to foreign countries dressed as if they're prepared to mow their lawns? right? I mean, and that's pretty much what Americans look like. I mean, I do think that New York does dress it up a little bit more. And certainly neighborhood by neighborhood, if you're on the Upper East versus Upper West or downtown, I mean, there's just different styles in every part of the city.
And honestly, I feel like clothing is so inexpensive now. Like, you can even go, I'm not even talking H&M or even Old Navy, which you can get some cute things there. I mean, like, even some thrift stores, literally. I feel like in the 80s when we were kids, I feel like there was much more of a stratification of expensive clothes and then kind of just bottom like Walmart clothes. But I feel like that's all changed. So I really do feel like people like don't, is there not, I didn't know I was going to get on this topic that I'm passionate about, but I guess I kind of am. That there's no reason not to want to present your best because it's not, I don't think it's a money option. That sounds judgmental, but that's kind of how I feel.
Well, I mean, to some extent, I mean, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, I mean, you can go to Zara and get, you can go to Zara and get something for, you know, a really interesting shirt that maybe you wear 10 times and maybe it falls apart for $30. Now, then there's a whole ethical thing about fast fashion and about, you know, we're creating more waste by not buying clothes that are, you know, well-made and sustainable, which I've got some qualms with as well. Personally, I'm more for spending the money on something that's going to last me 10 years as opposed to buying the t-shirt that I'm going to only be able to wear 3 times.
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. Or jean shorts.
Oh, well, I've worn those jean shorts more, so.
Last time at Liz's, it was really hot, and she didn't expect it to be hot. And, like, the only shorts we found there, were they from the Gap? They were, like, jean shorts.
Let's back up. No. You've got the story wrong. I showed up to LA with dresses and rompers because that's what I wear. I am then told that I am going to wear a themed bachelorette party t-shirt.
Oh, yes, that's what it was.
Which is not what I wear. And so I had to find a bottom with which to wear said themed bachelorette party t-shirt. And so we bought me jean shorts at J. Crew.
That's what it was.
I had to go shopping in every single store, and I literally, somebody at Topshop said to me, well, we have just me asking where their, you know, shorts were. He said, well, we have mom jeans upstairs. I was very insulted by this 22-year-old telling me essentially, well, we don't have clothes for like your type of people, but mom jeans we have upstairs. Like,
that's wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a good day.
It was a great day. No, it was wonderful. It's just now.
No, I mean, that was a good day. I remember, though, you're a planner. So for people that are listening, I feel like I have a lot of people on my show that they like to plan things. And when somebody throws something at them, that can cause anxiety.
Yes.
And kind of dysregulate them. How do you deal with that when you're like, hey, now you need to wear jean shorts and not a romper, or you need to do this? And like, how have you learned to?
Right.
Cultivate that more.
There's a question of knowing your audience, right? So you throw at me, now you're going to need to wear shorts. And I can say, Maddie, I'm pissed off. Because we're friends, right? I know my audience. Now, somebody throws something at me. So say we're traveling and suddenly we're the subway that we want to use isn't running. Well, you just have to figure it out. So I've planned this and it didn't happen. You just have to figure it out. And I try not to make circumstances worse for people who are around me when I have anxiety about plans falling through. Unless I love them. I say to Greg, I'm like, are we just going to sit here on the couch? Greg's my husband. Are we just going to sit here on the couch today? Like, is that the plan? Because I'm fine if that's the plan, but I just need us to say, plan is, we're just going to sit on the couch today.
I feel like so many of my listeners just fist pumped in their car and said, yes, yes. I feel like I know so many moms, especially that like they need a plan. They need a plan.
And I love that. The thing is, things are not going to go according to plan. And I've gotten a lot better, and I guess the last 2 years really, at just sort of accepting the flow of that. It doesn't mean that I don't like to plan for every eventuality. But generally, when you plan for 8 million things to happen, the one thing that you didn't plan for is going to happen.
Exactly. Well, and that's a good segue, because I want to talk to you about, you obviously, and you're involved in a lot of stuff. And if you're in New York and you teach an amazing class, if people, and I can put the link to your class, if people are listening and they want a music class, you're still teaching your class, right? Are you on your next session? Or
I am. So I teach music theory to actors, especially actors and dancers, especially that who don't read music. So it's just like the fundamentals of music theory and sight reading. I don't have my dates for my next session set yet, but I'm thinking a May June session is going to happen.
Okay, well, I'll have your website in the late show notes so people can click on that to find.
Awesome.
But anyway, what I was talking about, how you were talking about things don't go to plan and you just have to change on a dime, and so I feel like that's what you talk about a lot of, like being present and trying to be present in the moment. So you've started, or what you've been doing for a while, Present Project. So talk about Present Project, and because honestly, this is, I've been wanting to have Liz on my show for a while, everybody, because she's my BFF and I love her. And also, though, I try not to have people on my show that I just love and have a conversation. Hopefully there's a reason or something they're doing that's inspiring to me. And so Present Project was inspiring to me, and that's why I was like, this is perfect. So talk about Present Project.
Well, also important is the origin story of Present Project, because
no, it is
BFFs.
It does involve the BFFs, yes.
And it involves Cabaret.
It does. It does.
So I came out for Cabaret, that one that y'all did in the theater. I don't know which one it was, but I remember what I was wearing. I can't fit into those jeans anymore. But yeah, I came out, and it was when Allie wasn't living in LA yet, but she was staying with you. So Allie and I were just sitting in your apartment, and we were watching Ellen, and it was the episode where I'm sure everybody has seen that Kristen Bell freaking out about how much she loves sloths.
It's the greatest episode.
Right. She's just like, is there a sloth? And she gets so emotional because she loves them so much. And I couldn't stop crying. Because, you know, I like to cry.
And you're an empath. If somebody's feeling something around, you really take that on.
Oh yeah. And so I started crying, and I said to Allie, it was like, it was so serious when I said it. I was like, I just don't know if I'm going to make it through tonight, through Cabaret. I just don't know if I'm going to make it through. I'm feeling so present. And, you know, she sort of just gave me this sideways smile, like a little, yeah. But then retold the story with such love and jest that it really became funny that, like, that's a thing about me, that instead of saying, like, I'm sad or I'm emotional, I'm present.
I love it.
Yeah, and it is something that I also struggle with, too, because I think that my mind works very, very fast. And I'm often, you know, 5 steps ahead of where I am currently. So I'm thinking about 5 steps ahead. That's the planner in me too, right? Mm-hmm. So what I started doing at Allie's wedding, you know, this idea of practicing, because it brought me back to hashtag present, right? Mm-hmm. Talking with you guys about that brought me back to, like, how can I practice being present? And then, you know, I go to a cult gym in New York called Mark Fisher Fitness. I'm sure New Yorkers have heard of us. I've been there for like 5 years. And I was in the middle of a program there called, they do Snatched in 6 Weeks is what it's called. It's a 6 week great program where you sort of reinvent your concept of exercise and diet and accountability, really, for me. And I had done this program a couple times and had great results. And this time, I decided that I would add a weekly intention, something designed to help to keep me present. And so I did all the, I nailed all my things I'm supposed to nail, like my nutrition and my workouts and my sleep. Sleep is so important.
Which I just want to say, you said that like, oh, I was able to do all those things. Me knowing you for 12 years, that's been for me as well with fitness and everything, it's still a process for me, but that's been a long process for you as well as far as fitness. And when I met you, you were not this person at all that was about health and fitness. Not that you were unhealthy, but you were just kind of going through life and, you know, as we all do, struggling with weight and feeling good and not feeling good and not sleeping. Like, so that's, you just said it like, oh, and I was able to do all those things, but those were really hard things that you worked towards and accomplished. So I just want to say that for listeners that are wanting to feel hopefully inspired by that, that was no small feat for you.
Yeah, I forget that. Yes, you're absolutely correct. It's been quite a journey, and it's still a journey. Every day is still a journey. You know, and like I will say, body dysmorphia is such a real thing. You know, and I'm down 50 pounds from my heaviest, and every day is sort of a choice to look at myself in the mirror and be happy about what that is. But yeah, so you're right. I was able to nail those things, but I wasn't always able to nail those things.
Yeah.
But this time around, doing this program, I was. And then I was able to, on top of it, add this weekly intention. And I had help. I had accountability through a friend where I would sort of reflect that off of him. And that was, you know, of course, very important. I think accountability is important to any of these things, which is why sort of took it to the internet, right? Because what if other people want accountability and they don't know how to ask for it? So, you know, I'm there. I started beginning of 2016, every single week I had a focus. So, you know, there were things like surrender or ask for help or find joy. And so that type of intention translated into my workouts, of course, into my teaching. I remember a great one. I had a week where my word was rooted, right? So I felt rooted and grounded. And I had an audition that week. And I remember right as I started the audition, I breathed in and I breathed in the thought, I am rooted. And I like nailed it to the wall. It was one of the best auditions I've ever had.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And things about that weekly intention, just it's mindfulness, right? It's presence. It's a way to sort of latch onto some little aspect of your life and infuse it with something new. So it's taken on this interesting life. I did a whole year of it last year, all of 2016. And so I started 2017 with, on Instagram, I started, it's called Present Project 2017. And every week I post, I have a chalkboard wall in my office, spare room, music room, whatever you want to call it. And I write the word for the week up on that chalkboard wall. And by the end of the year, I'll have all 52, or it'll probably be 48. Let's be real. words. It was 48 last year. I mean, it doesn't have to be every week. And I write it up there. I take a picture of it. I put it on Instagram. I say, this is what I'm working on this week. What are you working on this week? You know, to various degrees, people have commented and posted things and tagged me in things. So I find it very interesting. The way that I take it into my life now is I make a playlist every week that involves those songs or makes me, I mean, the songs that involves that intention, makes me think of that intention. Mm-hmm. I Google the word, like what does, and I do like a Google image search of the word.
Ooh.
So, right, if I like Google the word, be courageous, what does that, what are images that come up? And, you know, I still have this same friend I check in with every single Sunday, and I ask him what he's working on, and he asks me what I'm working on. And have that's not long. That's just like that personal connection that we together.
Oh, yeah. That's it. And I just had an image, you know, I love that as far as Googling the word and the visualization, because I feel like you're really trying to combine all your senses and being present. And so has there ever been a word that you Googled that you were so surprised that the image that came up and it stuck with you for a word?
Yes, I can't, honestly, I can't remember the word, but I can remember the image.
Oh, okay. What was it?
The image was two fish bowls. One had a lot of fish in it and one was empty, and the fish was jumping from one bowl, from the full bowl to the empty bowl.
Ooh.
I think it might have been expand. I wish I remembered the word, but it was one of my first words. I was like, oh, that was one of the first images that I Googled. I also Googled fly, and I got this beautiful picture. Jump. I got this beautiful picture of a ballerina like mid-flight. I'm like, well, that just resonates with me. So what does that mean? Like, it looks like freedom to me, right?
Mm.
Yeah, there's been a lot that have surprised me. I also, you know, I get on Pinterest and, you know, search around quotes with the word and stuff like that too. And I'll occasionally post quotes.
I love it. I love it that it's, I always tell people that the people, you know, ask me or come to me for help or say they're looking for happiness and like, how am I happy? And it's almost kind of like they want, like you said earlier, they're not only 5 steps ahead, they're almost like 20 steps ahead. They're trying to like, how am I happy for the rest of my life?
Right.
And I just want to tell them it's happiness or contentment, whatever the word is for you, it's so much easier to achieve if you piecemeal it.
Yeah.
And I love that you're taking this concept of mindfulness and you're piecemealing it into like very doable. And anybody, I don't care how busy you are, maybe you don't have time to Google, maybe you don't even have time for a playlist, but any of you can take, even if you're in the bathroom taking a shower, you can take 2 minutes to think of what is a word that I want to, or an emotion or a state of mind that I want to just think about this week and like have when I'm in the middle of driving in traffic, or if I'm, you know, trying to get my kids to do their homework, or, you know, whatever it is that you can use. And I think it's so easy and attainable. I love it so much.
Well, the good thing about it now being online is if there are people that don't even just like feel stuck and can't, I don't know what I want to focus on this week. You can play along with me. Right. You can just like, this week I'm doing tidy up, and a girlfriend of mine was like, oh, that resonated with me so much. And so every picture of things that I'm doing, like I just cleaned out part of my closet and sent a big bag of thread up. Now that's like physical tidying up, but I definitely mean it. Like, how do I sort of clear some things away emotionally this week?
That's the first thing I thought of for me was, okay.
Right. Well, so I am like letting it manifest physically, because, you know, to some extent, I do believe that a cluttered space is a cluttered mind. And my space is cluttered. I'm not dirty. I'm messy. So, you know, a girlfriend of mine is like, that really resonated with me. That's what I need to work on this week. And so she's just taken that and she's running with it too. She's just essentially going side by side with me on that. Now, next week I might do something that she thinks is nonsense and she doesn't want to have anything to do with it. Right. But, I would also challenge her to see why she thinks it's nonsense. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But so, you know, you can play along at home, right? You can just do exactly what I'm doing, or you can let that be a starting place for you to try something new. Like, you know, so I'm tidying up. Maybe you see that as a way to create, and you use the word create for the week. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it. And the link to the Instagram is going to be in the show notes. And it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. So, I love it. I think this is like a whole thing. I think it's like, I see it as like a coffee table book. I see it as, I love it.
Well, it came from the BFFs. It really was a BFF in it, you know, origin. So it's of course of good nature.
It is of good nature. Okay. So let's also talk about, I swear we're going to answer questions, whatever. We have like two, maybe we'll do two. We might do one. I don't know. This is interesting to me though. It's my show, people. So, okay, talk about, oh God, I fucking love Lady Band. Talk about Lady Band.
Okay, I will talk about Lady Band. A long time ago, I just had this feeling, one of the I think one of my assignments in this world is to lift up women in particular, or women identifying people. Mm-hmm. And I, a while back, just approached some of my friends and said, I want to sing with you. I don't know what that means. Let's figure it out. And they said yes. And out of that was born Lady Band. So what we do, there's right currently, my writing partner, Joanna, and I, Joanna will give me a lyric and I'll arrange it for three voices, and we have a rotating third that comes in. We like to bring in new people and see what that does for our sound and stuff. And we do like 90-second to 2-minute shout outs to women who we admire. And with the hopes to bring recognition to them, or to lift them up in some way. So we've done things like when Elizabeth Warren was in that big Twitter war with Trump a while back, we did one for Elizabeth Warren. My favorite one that we've written is a thank you to Planned Parenthood. Mm. By far my favorite one.
That was a good one.
I love the one that we did for Alicia Machado, when she was just getting raked through the coals again about being fat by Trump. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. We did one for Clinton. We did one for Shonda Rhimes, for Martha Plimpton. Our first one was for Holland Taylor.
Oh, wow.
Whoa, we love Holland Taylor.
I met her once. She was lovely.
Isn't she amazing? We did that one for her when she was in Anne, the show that about Anne, what's her name? You know, from Texas. Anne.
The governor. Oh, she was in a show about Anne Richards?
Yeah, yes, it's a one-woman show about Anne Richards.
I did not know that.
Yes, it was the most remarkable thing.
I loved Anne Richards. I loved her so much as a little boy. I knew, like, I was just drawn to her. Oh, because I would see the news from her, because we would get the Dallas News where we're from, because we were just across the border. So we get all this stuff, and all my family would talk shit about her because she was a Democrat. But I was secretly like, I love her. I think she's sassy and smart, and I was so drawn to her.
She's amazing. So yes, and Holland Taylor did a whole one-woman show about that. You can probably find it. I mean, I don't know.
That's one of my favorite Liz asking. You'll say something really important or really like helpful, and then you'll say, I don't know. Like, I can literally, somebody ask you to secret life and you would say the answer and then say, but I don't know.
I don't know. What do I know?
Yeah.
Catchphrase, right? But what do I?
It is. You love it. Liz Asti loves a good catchphrase.
I love a catchphrase. Am I right, ladies? Is mine. So
it is. Am I right, ladies? Well, and lady, and you sound great too. And Lady Bit. So I think I, because they're mostly a lot on. Are do you put them up? I know I see them on Facebook. Are they through Facebook or are they through?
We have a YouTube channel and we have a proper website, ladybandnyc.com.
Oh, I didn't know that. All these things will be in the link.
Yeah, it's pretty new, the website. We've been around for a long time, 3 or 4 years. And we don't produce content as much as I think any of us would like. You know, what it's like to be an actor with a side job and auditioning and working on your craft and meeting with your writing partner. It's just a lot. And then getting a third person in, right? So schedules don't always allow for that. But something that we're doing right now, I went to the Women's March in D.C. and I was close enough to the screen. I wasn't close enough to the speakers, but I was close enough to the screen to be able to hear all the speeches. But what I'm doing right now is rewatching the speeches. And hopefully writing about a lot of the women in the organization that were represented in that to sort of bring more awareness to the organizations that we need to continue to support and to fight for. Yeah, we all know about Planned Parenthood and, you know, we all know about the ACLU and things like that. But what are some other things that we need to know about for women's rights and immigrants' rights and trans rights and all of these organizations that are out there? And how can we as Lady Band support that and bring some awareness to their issues as well. So I think that's part of our project right now.
Yeah. I love that project. I love that part. Sorry, we're going to get to a question. You're just interesting. I also, because I don't know why, I just want people to have a picture of how lovely you are. But I tell everybody about your cat.
Oh, she was just on my lap. Okay. My cat's name is Bea Arthur. Proper name, Mary Beatrice Arthur Asti Etling. Everybody should have a double name, right? And we're good Southern folk, so Mary B, you know. I'm Mary Elizabeth. Lindsay's actually the cat godmom of B. Lindsay
Lutton. Oh, I forgot about that, yes.
Yeah, because she was here when we got B. She was visiting, and we went to, there's this great shelter in our neighborhood, actually where Lauren Singerman and Dan O'Madden of your last episode, I guess, they got their cat Buster. I am the godmom to Buster. Yes, Buster is quite the cat. I have cat sat Buster. I love him. He's trouble. But Lindsay was here when we got B and, helped in that transition. It was scary getting a pet, but Lindsay talked me down off it. She's like, you're going to love it. And everything was great. But there's this great shelter in our neighborhood that has a cat loft where the cats, if they're okay to do so, can just roam around and like be cats. Of course, B was not allowed to roam around or see other cats. They told us specifically she needed to stay in her cage. unless we wanted to take her out. But she, like, we walked by her and she meowed and like reached her paw at me and like, well, that's my cat. Didn't know that she was actually in heat and doing that to everybody that walked by. But she's the best thing in the world. And she's, as Greg says, just like her mom, me, everything's on her terms. So she's pretty much like one of those. You can pet me three times and that's it. Don't even try for the fourth. Oh, but I do want a fifth, but not now.
Right. Not now.
Yes, B. Arthur. She's a gift.
She doesn't know. She just doesn't know.
She just doesn't know.
She doesn't know. I don't know why this just popped in my head, and I feel like this will be helpful. We might not get to questions. I'm sorry. You're interesting, and I don't want to do a really long show because I don't like to edit. So everybody knows that about me. I hate editing. But
you know that.
Well, just because I think this, I don't know.
You tell us every episode, Maddie. You hate editing.
I do. I hate editing. I hate it. But I know there's like, I have some friends that have podcasts. They're like, oh yeah, a listener edits my podcast for free. And I'm like, I want that, but I don't have that. So, it's fine. But I don't mean this to sound trivial to people that are listening, because I feel like this is a big deal for a lot of women especially. But I want to talk about, honestly, the moment when you, and this, I really, please don't laugh at people, because I mean in seriousness, changing your hair color. I don't know why they just popped in my, but I remember how like, that, this is what I love about you, is that you're not afraid. I feel like a lot of women stress out about changing their hair color or anything in their life, that they just, from breaking up with a boyfriend to, you know, changing a job. And I feel like a lot of times as women, they're not allowed to talk about things like hair color, anything superficial, because they feel like that's anti-feminist or it's demeaning or shallow. And I loved how you were okay to take it, that this is like, you were like, I'm not, this isn't like trying to cure cancer or like think of world peace, but this is something that is important to me and I want to think about it and kind of what it, you know. And so I want to know, what was that like for you to, and also it is different too because you're an actor. So when you're an actor, you've got to like, if I stopped dyeing my hair red, then I'd have to get new headshots and people would see me differently. So that's on another level. So, but speaking of like the personal level, what was that like for you?
I'll address the actor level first because I find, I definitely find myself tied to a headshot, right? But I also am just not interested in that game. I'm just not interested in it. And maybe that's the reason why I don't book a lot. I'm not interested in my hair color being the thing that people care about. I'm just not interested. So that being said, personally, I was blonde for like 15 years. I'm a natural brunette, quite dark. And I went blonde for Joanna and Sweeney Todd. And just stayed. Honestly, I walked into the salon, a brunette, and I walked out and was treated differently on the street. Like, shockingly so. And I haven't realized it. I didn't realize it until recently, too. I've been back brunette for about 4 years now. And I have zero dye in my hair at all. Nothing. The gray is coming in. We're going to live with it. It's going to be fine. I'm thinking about maybe putting a little purple in, but I don't know. Yeah, right? And it kind of seems fun. But I noticed the difference, too, with how often I'd get... I mean, I get street harassed every day, right? It's New York. But how often and, like, what times of day that I'd get street harassed as a blonde versus as a brunette.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, so hair to me is... It's a difficult thing. I have a tendency to hide behind my hair because I've got beautiful, long, dark hair.
It's
and
beautiful.
Even when I had beautiful, long, blonde hair, it just was, it's always been long and it's a shield, it's curtains. Literally, when I do my warm up at the gym, I keep my hair down on purpose so that I can be like by myself and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
In my warm up, I put it up for my workout because I think that's nonsense. People who have sweaty hair, it makes me anxious. That's Liz Asti opinions. Put your hair up when you're working out.
Put your hair up. Well, and I asked this too as you're talking. Another reason, you know, I think of is that I'm looking at a picture of her right here. Like, I'm looking at a picture of my mother with brown hair. My mother contemplated, it was over a year before she stopped dyeing her hair to let her gray grow out. So that's another reason why I bring this, because I feel like whether you're thinking about listening, you're thinking about dyeing your hair a different color, you're thinking about not to, or stopping dyeing your color. Oh no, we lost connection. Oh no. Hello?
Oh no, I hear you. Okay. Reconnected.
Reconnected, so it should be fine. But okay. Basically, I just said that if you are a woman who, my mother didn't want to dye her hair or wanted to stop dyeing her hair and go gray, and that literally she thought about it for a year. So that's why I kind of want to bring this up to people, is that it's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. You know, and my mother's completely, we have no idea. My mother gets her roots done every 3 weeks, like a standing appointment. No idea what color her hair is. I'm sure it's just white. And, you know, it's interesting. I don't know how I feel about what I'm going to do going forward. There's such a difficult thing about, you know, aging in the industry in particular. I feel really excited to get older because I know that I've always sort of been an older soul, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, the idea that I don't look as old as I am. So the idea that like my physicality is starting to catch up to like my mental age is exciting. Mm-hmm. And the idea that I get to say as an actor better words than things like, oh, you're being terribly bad. Let's tap dance. You know, like I get to say better things as I'm moving into the leading lady realm and out of the ingenue. That's exciting to me. But it's also, there's a lot wrapped up with, but it, you know, I don't have enough credits and it's too late, right? And so I have to still look young so that I can get the credits so I'm set up to succeed in my 40s and 50s, right? There's a lot wrapped up, and it's hair color and it's physicality and it's weight and it's, you know, your makeup. The industry puts a different standard on it, of course, than just your real life. But I think, for me, being a feminist is about embracing what you want to about yourself, right? So if you feel like it's a feminist statement to not dye your hair, fine. But if you feel like it's a feminist statement to dye your hair, fine.
Fine.
Like, just live your life and do it for yourself. So, you know, right now, I'm happy with the way that my hair looks. My stylist did say something to me like, you hold on to energy in your hair, right? So when my hair was, you know, almost down to my waist, that's a year's worth of energy that I was holding on to.
Mm.
So she encouraged me to cut some of it off, and I did. And you feel physically lighter, right? Mm. And emotionally lighter. So I, you know, my hair's not as long as it was. I'm getting ready to get it cut again. And I feel like there's a little bit of power to just making the choice and not being tied to somebody's standard of what what you think somebody's standard of beauty should be and what you think the industry standard of beauty is. I just think make your choice. Do what makes you feel beautiful. If you want to be a blonde, be a blonde. If you want to be a brunette, be a brunette. If you want to be purple, great. Do what you need. That's all.
Well, and I love what you so eloquently described, is that it's not even, so for somebody who's listening, this is why I brought this up. It's not even about the hair. It's not even about the color. It's not about the weight. It's not about the clothes you're wearing. It's about what it, the metaphor it is for something deeper.
Yeah, and hair is a very easy physical manifestation of whatever's happening, right? And I find a lot when I don't take care of myself emotionally, or when I'm, you know, eating to feel, or when I'm skipping workouts, I find that I won't wash my hair, or I won't even bother combing it. And then I remember a friend of mine was like, oh, your hair looks so good today. It's like, oh, you mean because I combed it, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a manifestation. It's just another way. It's an outward manifestation to show how I'm not taking care of myself.
Mm.
So I allow it to be that way sometimes. And I mean, also, it's such a hassle. Hair's a hassle. Like, I wish it was just, mine was just wash and go, but it's not. It looks really good when I do it.
It does. You have beautiful hair. You have beautiful hair. Which, again, as I said, is just a metaphor for who you are, because you're a beautiful, beautiful person.
Thank you.
So, yeah. We're not going to get to questions. I'm sorry.
Great.
I sent them to you.
They weren't very good. I was just going to be like, oh, really? That's your question? That's actually not your question. Let me answer what you're really... I'm going to tell the people the answers to the questions. It's not about you. That's the answer to the question.
That's so true.
All of them. Every question. It's not about you. It's not personal. It's not about you. That's it.
That is a good present project to keep. Okay, so let's, so, but we do have Chatty Maddie questions.
Okay.
So, same questions every week. So, what is your most memorable childhood smell?
The first thing that comes to my mind, just, I think grandparents' houses in general, but specifically my mother's parents who live down the street from us. I took piano from my grandmother, and it always seemed like there were grains cooking on the stove. Like, I'd be at my grandmother's house for piano lesson, and it just would smell of greens, like collards or kale. I mean, it would always smell of something like that. And then my grandfather would bake beautiful breads, so it would always smell of that, right? So just like my grandmother's house, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. I think a lot of people can relate to that. That's when I think of Clinique Aromatics Elixir, because my mother, or my grandmother, she would wear that perfume, but even her home would smell like that from where she sprayed it. So I, when I smell that, I think, and her home was always very clean, like she was OCD about cleanliness. So I would smell that with just like a hint of bleach.
Uh-huh, okay.
And that's, yes. That reminds me, I know, reminds me of my grandmother. And if you don't know Clinique Aromatics Elixir, everybody, you do, you just don't know it, because, especially if you're from the South, because there is an older woman and grandmother or aunt in your life who has worn it. You just don't know it.
Sort of like white diamonds.
It is like white diamonds, or like Youth Do by Estee Lauder. Youth Do.
Yes.
But if you're in a mall, I went, or anywhere like in the Sephora, ask to smell the Clinique Aromatics Elixir, and you're going to smell it, and then you're going to text me and be like, oh my gosh, I know somebody who smells like this.
Yep.
Okay. Chatty Maddie number two, what would be the name of your memoir?
Well, I have two. So I actually am writing, and have been writing for a long time. Like, we're talking 12 years. Liz Asti is Mad as a Wet Hen.
It's true.
Right. Yes. But then the other one, I mean, that's actually a it's morphed a lot. It's a one woman show, which I just always roll my eyes at when people say, oh, one woman show, like, come to my cabaret. Ugh, God, please. No, I don't want to go to your cabaret,
but I want to go to yours.
Well, you would go to mine, but I'd go to yours. But like, I don't want to go to some acquaintance's cabaret at the duplex. Come on.
I get it.
Anyway. So, yes, Liz Asti is Mad as a Wet Hen is always in the work, and I'm writing music for it too. Occasionally. It's stalled. I've got, you know, my own things to get over with that. But if I think, if I were to write a, like a proper book about the South, which I think I would call it Watermelon Pickles, My Grandmother, and Other Eccentricities of the South.
Oh, because you truly are Southern. For people that don't know, like, again, it's like saying Williamsburg and people thinking you're hipster and you're not. But, like, you had a debutante ball. Your family's, like, weren't they one of the founding families of North Carolina?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's kind of. I mean, we're, like, ninth generation in my hometown.
I mean, yeah, so, like, established Southern. And I say that, like, that, the debutante ball, all that, that's, like, that. Did you feel this immense pressure as a young person to, like, what you had to be for your family? Or was your, or were your parents good at kind of navigating that for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm very, very blessed with the parents that I have and with the whole family that I
they
have.
They are wonderful. Your parents are lovely. Very I met blessed. Them at your wedding, one of the most beautiful weddings I've ever been to.
I think they always knew... They always knew that they were doing a good job raising me, but they always knew that I was, I had wanderlust. I had a bigger spirit than like Monroe, North Carolina was going to give me. Mm-hmm. And so they encouraged that. And yeah, I had a dead ball and yeah, I was in a sorority and yeah, all of those things. But I was always like on the contrary side of it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I always did it. I think sort of everything that I've done like that, that is mainstream, I've approached it from a different perspective and just not bought into the nonsense of it. And I love tradition and I love being Southern. But I think everyone in my family has always understood that, I wasn't long for the South. You know, and it's totally accepted. It's totally fine. You know, my grandfather, when I went to college, said, it is fine if you go up to, you know, Pennsylvania. I went to Bucknell for college. It's fine if you go up to up north. Just read your Bible and remember where you came from. Like, that was my advice.
But that's so, I laugh, but that's also at the same time, it's still so supportive of letting you be who you want to be.
Yeah. I've always been encouraged to be nothing but fully myself. And, you know, of course they have concerns and I'm sure would have liked if I had taken a different route in my life. But they even like last week, I got a text from my father telling me how proud he is of me for the life that I'm living. And it's so interesting to hear that when you feel like you're stuck in your own career and somebody else from the outside says, what you're doing is remarkable. And you're like, what? Thank you. Oh, wow. I guess from the outside perspective, it does look remarkable. And objectively, it is remarkable. Now, it might not be exactly where I want to be today. But luckily, they've just really supported everything. You know, and if I wanted to stay home in Charlotte, they would have been the happiest people in the entire world. But they are great that I'm up here.
Yeah. I love that. Chatty Maddie number three. Best piece of advice you wished you'd taken earlier?
Like, similar to my father, I think, said to me when I was in my early 20s, the best way to make money is to have other people work for you. And I think that, you know, if you want to translate that into the acting world, like, it's kind of easier to make money when you have a team behind you, when you have an agent, a manager, like, people who are advocating on your behalf. But, you know, it's, I think, hard as an artist to have people work for you. If you're not of a certain level, if you think about it, you know, my father's an attorney and he has his own practice. So he's not like in a firm. So he is the boss. Like, so I think what he's saying is be the boss. And when you can outsource work and have other people work for you, that's the best way to have like the life that has freedom and money and is freedom, you know?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Okay, Chatty Maddie number four. What day would be your Groundhog Day? So what day could you live that was so great you're like, I could do this over and over?
Well, you know, you've been doing the show for a while and asking this question for a while, and I never have the same answer twice.
Oh, good.
When I think about it. Honestly, I was just in London by myself for a few days. This has nothing, you know, I know people say like my wedding day, and that was a great day. My wedding day was awesome. Remember? It was so good.
It was the best day. It was
the prettiest wedding in the world.
BFF weddings are the best. It was beautiful. Yeah, I think of your wedding, I literally just remember gasping at all the red roses.
Well, there were a lot of red roses.
It was so beautiful. Yeah. It was like, I was kind of always like, I don't really love red roses. And after seeing that, I'm like, oh, these are what red roses are supposed to be.
Yeah, it was like a garden.
I've even told Kai, I'm like, we're having red roses. I don't care if people don't like it. I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So my wedding day was amazing, right? I have a lot of really fond memories of a lot of things, like just incidental days that I've had with my husband, like a day that we decided to get on the ferry and we took the East River ferry down to the Staten Island ferry and then just like had a beer on the ferry, you know, just things like that are just, actually all my memories really involve exploration, right? Mm. So when I was just in London by myself and I had no plan and I had nobody to be accountable to, that quality of exploration is what I seek, right? That quality of being that present, because when you're in a foreign country, you have to be present, right? You can't just like walk the same route that you've always walked, right? You have to explore. Mm. So that, I think it's less of a day that I want to relive and more of a feeling. And it's the feeling of exploration, the feeling of being like so present in the moment or in the work, if I'm in a class or in a show or something like that. That feeling of being present, the feeling of exploration, that's what I want to recapture every day.
I think that's my favorite answer to that question.
No, thank you.
No, I mean that.
Like, and that came up like now, because I didn't actually plan today like what I was going to say. I had no idea.
Because you were present.
Because I was present.
You're present. So last question, when are you most inspired? Either time of day or in your life when are you most inspired?
This is a very easy one for me. I am most inspired when I see people I love living up to their potential. There's something that I can, you know, like we've said before, I'm an empath. And so I can literally feel it when somebody that I love is doing what they're meant to be doing. I'm getting present thinking about it. Mm. When they're, okay.
It's hashtag okay. Present. Leave, do it.
When I see people that I love thriving, when they are, doing and being who they are meant to be, whether that's in a moment or whether that's with their career, with the person they're married to, with their child, when I just know that they are living the life that they are meant to live, and that that inspires me the most and makes me want to be better and do better.
Mm. Well, what a wonderful way to end an episode. That was love. That made me a little present. That was lovely. I love that. This was. Thank you so much for this.
You're welcome so much. Thank you so much, Maddie.
Well, I love it that I know you and I can. This is what I've really enjoyed. You know, it's great when I interview strangers because I'm learning something new. But what I've really enjoyed interviewing some good friends is that I've learned. I've had a different experience of them and a deeper experience. And that's just great. That's what inspires me, is connecting on a deeper level and deeper level with you. And it makes me, it kind of answers it. You know, sometimes people are like, oh, why am I friends with this person? You're like, oh, well, because we both like the same music. We're like this. Whereas me, I'm like, oh, we both have the same, we have shared soul qualities. That's why we're friends, you know?
Absolutely.
So that's just cool.
Yeah. It's when you have the ability to actually see a person.
Yes. Yes.
And I've done very, very, a lot of work in the last year of sort of culling out those people that I don't really see or I don't want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping those people that like are enriching. And, you know, that's why we've been friends for 15 years. So yeah. That's, you know, it's always going to keep on growing because I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much so. Very, very much so. You know what else just popped into mind, because we were talking about it earlier too. I did forget to mention that I think you know more about 90210 than any person I know in my life.
Oh, hands down, absolutely,
absolutely.
More than anybody, maybe more than anybody ever.
So so who is probably who is the character you relate to most on 90210?
Brenda.
Okay,
obviously.
I know Brenda. So what do you think Brenda would say is when she's the most inspired?
Okay. Well, I don't. Well, I will just say that Brenda is the most inspired and the most truly who she is when she is with her soulmate, the person that she is meant to be with in this entire world, and that is Dylan McKay. So that's when Brenda is most inspired, when she is like, you know, head to head with Dylan, and they're fighting, and they're in love, and they're listening to REM, and they're breaking up in the car. Like, that's when Dylan and Brenda are both most inspired. It's a symbiotic relationship. They're meant to be together. They're soulmates.
You have opinions. No Dylan and Kelly.
No Dylan and Kelly. I mean, like, she chose me. Like, come on. Like, you choose why would you choose Dylan? Okay. If you had Dylan McKay in front of you and Brandon Walsh in front of you, why in the world? It's like, why would you choose Dawson over Pacey? It's like, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make it. And this is why Liz Asti has opinions and gets madder than a wet hen.
It's true. I'm mad about it. Like, I'm like, you can't see me, but I'm talking with my hands. I'm out of breath. I'm like, I'm upset.
You're upset. You're upset.
Because I'm so sad. I'm so sad that Brenda and Dylan aren't together now. I think about it all the time, maybe every day.
You do.
It's on reruns right now. We're on the first season of reruns on, like, Pop TV or whatever, and I'm definitely rewatching it for the 400th time. Every day I sit down and watch. Every day.
Every day. Every day. I'll never forget when I saw Luke Perry and I texted you that.
And I just... And you know, now that I'm watching it too, right now, I'm looking at this as 20 years ago, right? And I'm looking at this thinking, over 20 years ago, how the industry standards of beauty have changed so much, especially for men, because these men are like chickens. They're so small. Mm. And now you can't watch, you know, any of the shows that you guys are reviewing without, like, these really built men on.
Well, speaking of Dylan McKay, Luke Perry plays the father to Archie of Riverdale, and that kid's a 19-year-old kid, and he's like, he's jacked. It's crazy.
And like, yes, they were older, but they looked like teenagers. They looked like, you know, they didn't, weren't spending all their time in the gym. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the way, even, you know, these poor teenagers who are trying to get in sitcoms now, that's not, you know, I can go on forever about industry standards of beauty, but that's something that has really struck me recently watching it. Like, Brandon has his shirt off and there's not a six pack,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
And that just wouldn't fly now. And that's real sad.
It's real sad. It's real sad. It's changed a lot. Well, Liz Asti, this was wonderful. Liz Asti from Present Project 2017, from LadyBandNYC.com. If people want to follow you, do on the Twitter or the Instagram.
Oh, I don't do the Twitter. I don't believe in that.
I don't.
Opinions.
But you do believe in Insta. So Present Project 2017, people can see what you're up to.
Yeah, so. I'm on Insta. And Lady Band NYC is on Insta too, but we don't do anything quite yet. We're trying.
You're more on the YouTube. You're more on the YouTube.
And I'm, you know, social media is a thing, and you guys in LA have a harder time than we do even, but it's still a hard thing to get.
It's a weird thing. Yes, it is. So
I tried Snapchatting. I'm not sure I like it. No, I don't.
I can't stand it. I don't get it. I always confuse. I press the wrong buttons. I never can get to the I don't want to send a person a picture back. I just want to be like I want to text and be like, that's cute. I don't want to take a video or a photo and be like, oh my god, it's just too much. It's too much commitment. It feels intrusive in my life.
I do like a filter though. I do like, put me in a bunny suit. Like, I'm okay with that.
Okay. Well, okay. I agree with that. All right, everybody. Well, so for the rest of you, again, Liz Asti, A-S-T-I, if anybody's looking that up, Liz Asti, thank you so much for being on the show. And for the rest of you, do something for someone this week, and I'll talk to you later. Bye. Well, sugars, are you feeling present? I know I am. I hope you are. Let me know what you thought about this episode. I always love your feedback. You can write your questions to DearMattyShow.com and leave a little question, or you can tweet me at TheMattMar on the socials. Also, too, if you're into this kind of stuff, I'm now doing recaps on the network AfterBuzz TV, which is Maria Menounos' and her husband Kevin's network. So it's on YouTube. There's a podcast of it. Right now, I'm recapping with some other people the show, the Emmy Award, critically acclaimed, What Happens at the Abbey. You know, I like the show better than I thought it would. I'll be honest, I took it because they said, this is an open spot. And I'm like, a bitch has got to get in there. I got to put my foot in the door. But There's some things I actually like about it. I think it's, there's some people I can't stand, but there's, you know, it's a reality show. What are you going to do? But I still don't like the Abbey. It's not really a gay bar. Sorry. Half of you who don't live in LA don't even know what the Abbey is. It's a gay bar. Anyway, so I'm recapping that show. And then starting June 11th, I'm going to be recapping Orphan Black. And I'm very excited about that show because Orphan Black is a great show and this is its last season. And as always, I'm doing my stuff with Jake at tvttime.com, where you can listen to that podcast, TVT Time. We're just finishing up Fire Island, and we don't honestly know what we're going to do next. We got to figure this shit out. We got a lot to do. But other than that, Sugars, you know, I was very inspired, speaking of being present, of the Will Ferrell speech at USC, where he talks about sometimes life is about throwing darts at a board. I'm not going to try to paraphrase it and make it as good as Will Ferrell, because I'm not that fucking funny. But Google it. I'll put it in the show notes, but watch it. It really was truly inspiring to see his process of how he got to where he is in life. All right, everybody. You know the drill. If you like this show, please leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you listen to. It helps a lot. Share the show, tweet about it. All that kind of stuff helps. All right. I love you. See you next week.